This morning I had just a ghosty with the devotees here in Ketchikamit and explaining to them some of the discussions and initiatives that we've been undertaking in our national council meetings over the last years. Basically, they're to focus around Varnashram and establishing Varnashram, one aspect of which is to have a really integrated vision of the yatra that's based about New Rajadham as the center piece, showpiece, center point of Krishna consciousness in Hungary, and also one that offers the most facility, obviously, for grihasthas who want to remain full-time or become full-time devotees, since not only book distribution, preaching, and maximum deity worship are available as full-time services, but everything that's to do with living in a self-sufficient lifestyle anyway. And it also, of course, gives the facility for educating their children in a Krishna-conscious Guruku way. Then the membership program that we have in terms of identifying into six categories the devotees who are connected, or people who are connected with the Krishna consciousness movement, half of those which are full-timers, the volunteers, monks, and then those devotees who don't fall in the category of monks, but they're full-time devotees, yet they have some personal belongings, assets, property, live in a brahminical lifestyle, getting minimal maintenance from the temples. And then there are the supporters, those who are regular donors and take responsibility for the maintenance as well as the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. There are helpers who are occasional donors and supporters, not regular, and sympathizers who are people who come and go, have not really taken any real vows in terms of Krishna consciousness, but identify with it as being their religion. That's the people aspect of Varnashram. And then, of course, the consciousness that we have a social structure which incorporates Varna and Ashram. Varna means work, and that's what I'm going to be speaking about today. And Ashram means that, well, you're either in one of these four different spiritual orders. Either you're a student, which means either you're living in a brahmachari or brahmacharini ashram and studying Krishna consciousness, or you're going to school. Either you're a grihastha, vanaprastha, or for rare people, a sannyasi. And that automatically means that there's no such thing as, for instance, bachelors. There's no thing as men or women in Varnashram who maintain themselves, live outside, work, but they're not married. They have to be situated in a particular ashram. And the theme that we really digress to this morning is the theme of Varna, or really the motor of Varna, which is working itself and the work ethic, something that very often devotees don't fully embrace. Perhaps one reason that they don't is because devotees are sometimes used to this concept that if I'm not in good consciousness, that I can't go on sankirtan or I can't do my service, that somehow or another one's consciousness has got to do something with whether they should work or not. And of course, this isn't a principle that can stand its ground in the outside world. There, someone's employer couldn't care less what consciousness you're in. You're being paid to do some work and you have to work a minimum of 8 hours a day. Obviously, in outside world. If a person has a family, he also can't tell his family members, particularly his children, that I'm not in such good consciousness today, or I haven't been in such good consciousness this week, so we don't have anything to eat because I didn't make any money. And devotees will have to take responsibility for themselves and live outside very quickly, come to the realization that temple life is in many ways a real comfortable lifestyle, and sometimes devotees become spoiled by it. So the theme is work, and everyone has to work. Krishna begins the Bhagavad Gita by establishing within, we're not this body, but then immediately he gets onto this point that he's emphasizing to Arjuna that you must work, that everyone has to work. It's the nature of the soul to be active. Therefore, that activity should be channeled into creative work by which one maintains oneself and also simultaneously elevates oneself to God consciousness. A very simple formula is that if you don't work, you can't be Krishna conscious. Work and Krishna consciousness are synonymous. To be Krishna conscious, you have to work at it. Someone who isn't willing to work and maintain his physical body, he's certainly not going to work at becoming Krishna conscious, at becoming a devotee. Therefore, for instance, those devotees who go to school, sometimes we hear this complaint that, you know, the youth, well, it's all Maya, going to university, going to college, and I'm not really inspired to do this. But inspired or not, if you're doing it, and if that is actually the aspect of life that you've taken responsibility for, namely that you're a student, then work, and work well, and put your energy at that, because that's your business. Your business is to do that type of work. Sometimes then students think, oh no, I'd rather spend all my time in the temple and do some service, and I'll just sort of get by. But that's very similar to what Arjuna is saying, that, well, better if I just take sannyas and not fight on the battlefield. But this is your chosen field. You've chosen to be a student. So therefore, put your energy and your time into your studies, be studious, and do well. If you want to live in a temple, and there you can move in the temple and do full-time service, then decide that you want to do that. But whatever your particular field of endeavor, then work. And this work ethic must be emphasized. I know in another one of our temples, there is a certain phenomena where devotees who lived outside, they had this habit of going off to Italy to beg 2-3 months of the year, and the rest of the year they would just sort of live off of their begging, and also they would indulge in intoxication and just a lifestyle of sloth. So I told the temple president, you have to tell these people we're not letting them in the temple. We don't want these type of people. For us, these are not people that we want to identify with Krishna consciousness. They want to practice at home, that's fine. But first of all, we don't want regular drug heads coming to our temples. And secondly, we don't want people who don't believe in working and who maintain themselves by begging. No one has a right to beg. Brahmacharis have a right to beg, and Brahmins have a right to beg. Others cannot make their living by begging. They have to work. That is Varnashrama. Isn't it a phenomenon, particularly I know of, that takes place in England, that devotees learn how to do Sankirtan, which is sometimes based upon not directly the sale of books, but asking for donations. And then when they're no longer living in the temple, then they go outside and they want to maintain themselves by the same type of thing, by asking for donations. But obviously that begging or donation is going for their lifestyle. While begging is the dharma of a brahmachari and a brahmacharini, and is completely acceptable, it's unacceptable for someone who's living outside and should actually be maintaining the brahmacharis, not begging like them. And of course, what to speak of unacceptable, it's also illegal. So this whole concept of work, and then if someone is a grihastha, then he should work. And he should work seriously, honestly, and obviously take up the type of work which is not overtly against the principles of Krishna consciousness, running a brothel, disco, a meat shop, wine shop, a pub, and so on. But one should choose an honest work, one should do that work well, and as a result of one's work, one should maintain the Krishna consciousness movement, be a regular, committed donor. If we take responsibility to have a family, then it's something that we also have to work at. Raising children means work. The modern method by which karmis raise their children is to stick them in front of a television, thinking that raising children is something that just happens automatically, or I'll just leave it to someone else. But raising children means work. It means putting time and energy into my children. It means giving them love and affection. It means giving them time. It means teaching them, taking them on outings, and putting the work into them, whereby they become healthy, vibrant, ethical devotees who can pass on to their children the many wonderful experiences that they've gotten from their own parents. So, niyatam kuru karma tvam, karma jaya karmana. Krishna says everyone has to work. Everyone in any ashram has to perform some type of varna. And the varna may be different from one person to the next, but the principle of work should be there. So this whole idea of work ethic, it is an important thing to emphasize in Krishna consciousness, and we as devotees, indeed the Krishna consciousness movement, should be seen as an organization that promotes work, that encourages all of its members to work, and ultimately is very selective or refuses to accept those people who have no work ethic, who simply want to live by the mercy and benefit of others. Such irresponsible people in the long run can neither do anything for our Krishna consciousness movement, neither can they do anything for themselves, and therefore Krishna says, yudhyasya vigata jvara. Yes, now you should find it. You should fight. Do your business. Svadharma apichaviksha. Everyone has their dharma. He says, if you don't fight, you'll be forced to fight by your nature. This is a constant message Krishna is telling us all throughout the Gita. Work, work, work. You can work like this, you can work like that. Your nature may determine the type of work that you do, but everyone must work. And as Srila Prabhupada gave us this simple formula a long, long time ago, he says, no lazies and no crazies. So lazy person is a person who doesn't want to work. Prabhupada said, no room for lazy people in the Krishna consciousness movement. Hare Krishna.